This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Travis, and Keenan until 4 o'clock. Two in the books, one to go, as we've had more than an interesting show. We've had guests. We've had unexpected guests. And we've had unexpected comments from those guests. All part of the show. As we continue to talk, get ready for a big weekend with the Texans, looking for a game that I guess every game from now on has to be a must win. You're tied in a three-way tie. And here's what someone asked me today, one of the listeners that follows us that was here earlier and couldn't stay, said, is Bill O'Brien on the hot seat? And I said, look, I've been saying he's on the hot seat as well as Rick Smith for the last 2 months. The thing that I think makes this scenario different is, at least from a perspective of defending one, if not both of those guys, you could say in the past, at least they won the division. At least they got in the playoffs. Trav, to your point, you can't compete for a championship unless you get in.
Exactly.
So you won a division. You got in. I think the first year you won a playoff game. Last year you got blown out. But if you don't win it this year, you not only don't win the division, you don't have a playoff appearance, and you're 3 years in. Is it now so hot or heated up or time?
Is it not? I don't think it's so hot. I don't think he's on the hot seat at all. I think people.
How can he not be if you know he had his hand in Brock Osweiler's side?
Look at what Gary Kubiak went through before he even thought about being fired.
But you got to remember, Gary also left somewhat of a winning. I mean, he left a winning team here.
Do y'all not realize the owner hates change? He hates.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah,
I said all along whether he should be or not. I said his fate is directly tied to Brock Osweiler, so he's going to have at least one more year, and they're going to see what Brock does next year.
So he's not on the hot seat.
No, but that's not true. He's still on the hot seat. The whole dang city is putting him on the hot seat. They're tired of it, whether you say the play calling is predictable, is he conservative.
This is his third
but again,
year.
When he wins the division, he gets a playoff game. There's a little bit of a leeway and a little wiggle room. If you don't win this division this year, and you don't get in the playoffs, and you have everything else piling up against you, you can't say he's not on the hot seat now, and you can't say that it isn't deserved.
Well, I think here's
he doesn't.
He does. He absolutely
does. No, he doesn't. He doesn't deserve to be on the hot seat.
Keenum, yes, he does.
Keenum makes a point.
Why? Give me a.
I just did.
No,
I just gave them all to you.
He went to the playoffs last year, Joel.
Right.
This would be the first year he doesn't make the playoffs. So you're telling me when he doesn't make the playoffs 1 year, he's on the hot seat.
It is.
That's what happens. That's why organizations go through what they go through and keep losing.
It is not just that factor. I just gave you a list.
So in Green Bay, if Mike McCarthy doesn't make the playoffs, is he on the hot seat?
He absolutely is.
He hasn't made the playoffs before.
But they've already said it. He's already on the hot seat. Whether you like it or not, that's life. That's a reality.
Here's your point, Keenan.
What I'll say is the fact that Bob McNair doesn't want his franchise to be the Cleveland Browns. And if you fire a guy right now and all of a sudden you bring another guy who's not qualified or who's not as good or who doesn't have a grasp on it, then next year, guess what you're going to do? You got to fire that guy too. Because if he does worse, then it's gonna keep on being. And now we're gonna be a team that nobody wants the job. And this is a job that's actually one of the better jobs in the NFL, from the facilities to the ownership to the product that you get to put on the field. So that's one of the reasons why I say he's not on the hot seat. He's not on the hot seat at all.
But here's my thing, okay? I said a variety of factors. So I said at the end of the year, if you don't get what you've had. You don't get the division championship. You don't get the berth in the playoffs. You don't get the opportunity to continue to win or to be successful in the postseason. You don't even make it. That's going to get people on top of the fact that you at least had a say-so in the quarterback, whether you and the GM and the owner, whoever. You finally spent a lot of money and said, this is our guy. And that's not working out either. You also took the play calling back. You said you're going to start calling the plays. And play calling has been a huge point of contention for everyone in this city and everyone that follows this team. So it's all stacking up. which is why I said it before, and I'll say it again. And I'm saying if all those things are falling into place and they don't win, make the playoffs, and they don't get it, and they don't win the division, I believe that in the offseason now, it's going to get hotter than ever. Now, I also said, and I'll stick with this, I don't think because of the point that the McNairs don't like change, I don't think it's going to happen this offseason, at least for Bill O'Brien. Well, I think his wagon is now officially hitched to Brock Osweiler.
And I can say, I mean, I don't mind saying that, but I think because of the Brock Osweiler situation that he's going to have at least next year as the head coach here, because they're going to give him the opportunity of having a full year of playing offseason before you sit there and say, let's make a decision. Because, I mean, yeah, some people do it. Like, Keenan's been a lot of places. I've been places that they give us a playbook. Here, you learn it. You say, you read through it twice. You say, all right, I got this. Don't worry. No problem. But at the quarterback position, you have to let him assimilate to the offense and get assimilated to the offense to be able to make plays. That's the only reason why I say that he's not there, because you have to see, okay, he had a year. Let's see what the maturation process is next year. If there's no improvement, or if there's no change, or if there's if everybody's stagnant, I think that's when they look at it and say, let's have a sit down conversation saying, where do we want to go with this franchise?
This team hasn't quit on him, though.
No, they haven't.
And that's the big thing right there. When a team quits on you, that's when you make a change.
Yeah.
This team, not the only reason why. I understand that would be a main reason why. But you have to feel like there's still frustration in that locker room.
Well, it's decisions that was made above the head coach, too, to sign this guy. The owner had to say, yes, I'm going to give him
his money. I gave you the three options.
So the owner has to say, okay,
Rick Smith,
I want
the owner, Bill O'Brien. Fair?
I mean, he's not on the hot seat. I'm just going to let you know that. That's not where it's at right now.
Well, I would say there's a lot. I disagree. I think there's a lot of people that would, but we agree to disagree. That's fine. I just think that it's too much of a snowball effect. There's too many factors now that stack up against him. But like I said, I think the main one is number 17. And as long as he's your quarterback, and you know you got him for one more year, to Trapp's point about you're going to make a change and then you're going to bring someone else who might have a new system in, and that's just going to set him back even further, I say his wagon is hitched to Brock Osweiler, but I don't think the seat could get any hotter if they don't make the playoffs and they don't win the division.
I don't think it even gets that hot just because they missed the playoffs one year.
Let us know what you think. If you want to join in the conversation, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We are here till 4 o'clock. Okay, we had a caller. They dropped. We'll see if we can get them back. You know, to me, it's just a situation where the frustration level is mounting in the city. You can feel it across the – and to your point, I understand.
I'd hate to be the Los Angeles Rams fans then.
If Bill O'Brien get fired every day, yeah, I will agree.
I would hate to be the Los Angeles Rams fans then. If you feel that
for
way –
For Jeff Fisher, I get that.
If you feel that way –
But they say that the biggest get-out-of-jail-free cards in the NFL start with Jeff Fisher.
Well, I mean, when you're an all-time losing coach in NFL history, that's a problem.
Your overall career is 50%.
Yeah, and that to me, and you know, I hate to take it there, but they would never give a black coach that type of leeway. You know what I mean? And we all know.
Never.
I mean, they wouldn't even give Lovie Smith, who won 10 games, if got fired after winning 10 games, that type of leeway. So the fact that you are a habitual loser and continue to keep a job, I got to question that. I got to say, you know what, Jeff Fisher, yeah, he's probably a good dude. I know guys who play for him who love him to death. But at the same time, at some point, when is winning going to matter? When you make winning the be-all and end-all for everybody else in every other organization at every position, and said, are you better than this guy? Are you better than this guy? When you break down the coaches, I'm pretty sure there's a lot better coaches out there than Jeff Fisher.
And that's why I say Bill O'Brien is not on the hot seat, because – He's shown that he can come in and win. I mean, even though everybody say Coob left this team in good hands, but he had to put that team together last year to make the playoffs. It's not easy to make the playoffs in the National Football League. I mean, and to say that they don't make the playoffs this year, I mean, so what? All right, let's go back and retool. Your superstar wasn't on the field. JJ wasn't there. I mean, he has a lot of things that's going in his favor to say that
why I need to be back.
Yeah, why I need to be back. I didn't have all my team that was playing. I mean, he has a lot of factors that go into him staying as a coach of the Texans and not being on the hot seat.
Nick, we got a call?
Yeah, we got Victor. He wants to get on this hot seat talk. What's up, Victor?
Victor, what's up?
Yeah, you know how you were saying there are a lot of things stacking up on the coach being on the hot seat? I think there's even more things stacking up with him keeping his job. Like, you're crazy if you think he's on the hot seat. There's no way he's losing his job, even in danger of it.
Tell me why.
In my opinion.
Tell me
because,
why.
Because, like, all right, so like you said, J.J. Watt was hurt. Owner doesn't like change. They want to, like, keep it stable. And there's still a good team. It's just the quarterback. I don't think his fate is linked to the quarterback that Rick Smith signed. I'm talking about Bill O'Brien.
See, I said they're both on the hot seat. Now, Trav, he brings up an interesting point to something that we talked about earlier. He says, the caller says, that they're still a good team. It's just the quarterback that's the problem. You said you don't disagree.
Cleveland
might have a better roster right now than the Texans do.
I do. I agree with that. I mean, I just think Cleveland just don't have they just don't have a quarterback. If Cleveland had a quarterback, I think they changed the whole lot. They changed the whole landscape of what they got going on. I think, to be honest, I think up and down, when you look at their defensive line, you look at their corners, you look at their offensive line and what they put out there, you look at their running back situation.
I think Cleveland is a more talented team. We all discussed it.
I threw it out there that you had said that. Man. I was like, that surprised me. But if that's the case, then that goes completely against what the caller said, too, because then what we have is perception versus reality. The perception of a lot of people out there is this is a playoff-caliber roster.
I don't think this is a good team.
He's doing a really good job putting those guys in situations to win.
He's turning, you know what, in the somewhat viable something to eat. You know what I mean? He's turning chicken, you know what, to chicken salad.
Yep.
And I would say that's why I just can't say I got to give him a little bit more time to be able to make this team somewhat. When you look on the field, you say the product is what it is. When we look at the Texans play, it's a lot of bad ball going on out there. It's a lot of guys who aren't as good as they are at other places. It's a
bad ball, when to throw the challenge flag, all of those things, the predictable and conservative offense, they all stack up starting with the head coach, guys. I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there. And I'm saying, at the end of the year, if you take away the two things that are feathers in his hat, which are winning seasons with division championships and a chance at the playoffs, and those aren't there anymore, I don't know how he can't be on the hot seat. I just don't. It's up for you guys to decide. You can talk about it amongst yourselves. I'm getting some tweets. You can also join us on the show. 713-780-ESPN. We're here till 4 o'clock. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Trap J, K-Mac, Keenan McCardle here till 4 o'clock. We have been discussing the situation with the Texans and Bill O'Brien, Rick Smith and company. Is Bill O'Brien on the hot seat? Is Rick Smith on the hot seat? I know that you guys are passionate fans. A lot of people have a lot of opinions other than ours. Some people want to chime in. Nimish, you're on the phone. What's up? What do you want to hear?
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
I just wanted to chime in. I have some kind of thoughts, I guess, on Bill O'Brien being on the hot seat. I've heard a lot of people talking about the Texans as they're kind of a team where they're one, two, three players away from being a significant competitor for that Super Bowl. And one thing that I kind of wanted to talk about was, I guess, understanding what's that franchise's goal? Is it to be, obviously you want to win your division first, and then make the playoffs, right? And then obviously compete for a Super Bowl. But if you're going to be sitting there at like 7-9 to 9-7 every year, and you go after a guy who's trying to add stability to the toughest position in the sport, and then he comes out and is effectively, you know, just not near where you thought he was going to be, You backed him as the coach, and obviously you have injuries, and you're in win now mode. How is the coach not on the hot seat?
Guys?
Well, I mean, you aren't in win now mode.
Every team is in win now mode.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a mode.
It's not a mode.
Just go out there and win. You know what I mean? And that's what I think. Here's where a lot of people get the league messed up is, and I continue to tell people this all the time, is every team has pros on it. Every team, like, it's hard to win games in this league. It's hard to win games, and you can't factor in, like I said, like Keenan said earlier, and like I told you before when we had our discussion the other day was that these guys aren't going out here not to win games. These guys are putting in the work.
A lot of people think that.
A lot of people around here think that they're not trying to win games. Exactly.
Now, is that to your point that they haven't lost the locker room?
But they have pros in the locker room.
I understand that.
Yeah. They're not trying to go. They're trying to go out and win games. They were in that game last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm looking at you guys like he's on the hot seat. He had a great game plan against them guys until the fourth quarter.
Until Aaron Rodgers, but not just that. Until they made Charles James
the scapegoat for making
him go out there and have to cover when he should have never had to be out there
because of injuries, right?
And because of injuries, but that's another thing that I don't think people are talking about. How you made this guy who was only on your team to play special teams and be a relief at times to help you out in coverage, not be a every down cover guy.
That's a 10-play guy. He's a 10-play guy on defense.
And what people don't understand is for the entire season, he's been a 20-30 play on defense guy all year long. You sitting there like, this is a 5'8" cornerback that you cut the first time.
And that's the biggest knock on him because he's got the skills, but
he just doesn't have the length.
Yes.
And he's playing one of the best receivers in the league, Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson.
How does that match up? You know what that was?
Now, there are other people on.
That was smart football.
Barry said that, you know, he made some comments about the fact that, look, he's on your roster, and at some point if he's thrown into action, for whatever the reason, you got to play. Brandon, who works at the station, was just here, was talking about, it was a correlation of things, that Charles James was awful on special teams too, and it was just the right time. To me, it seemed like exactly what you're saying.
And
we talked about this.
A
scapegoat, because after something like that happens,
somebody got to be at fault.
Someone's got to take the blame, whether they're at fault or not. Someone's got to take the blame.
Exactly. When you lose three straight games, they're going to find somebody that's going to take the blame. And the fact of the matter is, when CJ came out with the no shirt and the media blew it up, and all of a sudden then he gets beat the next play, they look at it as, and that's why I hate some of the guys that do the games. I don't like listening because they all got their own agendas.
Right.
They all got their own agendas, and they slant people's thinking because guess what? Everybody says, we didn't, and they slant the way to meet. They slant the way we as radio people come out here and talk about it because guess what? They made it a big deal, so now you got to talk about it, and now all of a sudden it looks like, well, dang, he must not have been focused at the time. He's like, how's this man not focused? How did he? What made you think he didn't come out here ready to make plays and ready to? You think he wanted to trip over the man's feet on the way to the end zone?
Yeah, I can't see that. And I forget, we were talking to somebody the other day too who said, look, you got to keep your footing no matter what. Was it Wednesday? Where you said it doesn't matter.
I said it doesn't matter because that's your job. You got to make that play. I mean, if you're put out there, you got to make the play. But you got to know your player's limit.
Exactly.
As a coach, but they got down to the point where, they was injured and he had to play.
He had to play.
I guarantee you, if you call their defensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel, he's not going to say, I'm going to play Charles J. right now. No,
I get that, but what I'm saying is I said all week when we were talking about it, what he fell. It's the conditions, and it's more so than anything else. Because I also think they caught a break. I thought Rodgers could have looked that way. He should have looked along the line of scrimmage and seen that and said, "I'm going to go that way." He didn't. The only reason why so Charles James was doing decent. The only reason why he did is because he fell down. But you're going to make him a scapegoat, and you're going to sell his socks and his hats in the pro shop, and yet you're going to cut him free and make him the scapegoat?
But that's because he's the easy – he's the undrafted free agent is always
– He's the easy guy to cut.
He's the last one hired, first one fired.
We have nothing invested in him.
We didn't give him anything.
Gentlemen, you know what we got invested in? We got a college basketball doubleheader coming up on Saturday, December the 17th. I know we're all basketball fans. Here's an opportunity for you guys to see some great college basketball with some local ties and see two games for the price of one. Tickets are going fast. It's A&M and highly ranked Arizona at 11 a.m., followed by Shaka Smart's Fighting Longhorns of Texas against Arkansas at 1:30. Tickets are starting at just $20. That includes both games. There's also a Fuddruckers family pack, 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 drinks, and 4 coupons for a free Fuddruckers sandwich in the future. Just $99. All tickets, HoustonToyotaCenter.com or 866-4-HOUTIX, 866-446-8849. Arizona, as I mentioned, a top 25 team, coached by Sean Miller, against A&M. That is a big matchup because A&M's coming off a Sweet 16 run. UT and Arkansas renewing the old Southwest Conference rivalry. College basketball fans in Houston, a great doubleheader. Be a part of it Saturday, December 17th at Toyota Center. Texas and Arizona. Texas A&M in Arizona, Texas and Arkansas.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy.
A half hour left to go. We got nitpicks still to get to. We started a discussion that you guys have been chiming in on about your Houston Texans. We've had some people that have been holding a long time. We don't want those guys to go on the wayside. So, Troy, you've been holding long as you want to get on this Texans conversation. What's up?
Joe, what's going on?
Troy, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Hey, as far as him being on the hot seat, I don't know that he is, but because of all the points you've made today, I don't know how he can't be. And let's go back to one of the conversations you had last week. You asked the question, is it okay to make it to the first round of the playoffs and get beat and everything be all right? No, it's not okay. Not when you go to the first round of the playoffs and you get your door blown off.
So if he went to the first round of the playoffs and lost in a tight one, he's fine?
Sir?
If he went to the playoffs and lost a tight one-point game, he's fine?
How many of them have we been in so far?
He's asking a hypothetical.
Hypothetical. You said if he got his doors blown off. I say, so if he lost by one in overtime or something like that, or he's fine?
With him coaching, have we made it past the first round? And Joel asked the question, is it okay? It's in my opinion, no, it's not okay to make it just to the first round and get killed. Something's wrong.
Well, I remember when this town was mad at Kubiak but for not making the playoffs, and then it took him what? How many years to take Gary to make the playoffs before everybody felt good with
Gary? But you're helping make my point.
Well, I mean,
from the standpoint of the people that were critical of Gary, and Gary had less to work with,
he kept.
That's why Bill O'Brien's on the hot seat.
I don't think – I mean, the guy, his first 2 years in the pros, he wins 9 games. He wins 18 games. I mean – it's a lot of teams out there that really wish their head coach could win 9 games and make the playoffs and win the division.
Troy, you got anything else?
Yes, sir. And you don't think at this time that Bill O'Brien doesn't have more weapons than Kubiak did
No, he doesn't.
No, he don't have half the weapons that Kube had at the time. You got to remember, they had J.J. in his prime. He had Antonio Smith in his prime.
He had Schaub in his prime, for sure. He had
Andre Johnson in his prime.
Arian Foster
in his prime. Owen Daniels in his prime. We can keep on going.
Troy, I'm pretty sure that Gary had some guys in their prime. Hey, by the way, we got Clarence here, who's normally a loyal listener. He decided to join us up close and personal. We appreciate that. That's why he's in the living room with a recliner instead of a beanbag chair. And it's great to meet him in person, have him join us. Troy, we appreciate the call. Thanks for joining in. We told you about a 3 o'clock drawing we had for the big party the week of the Super Bowl. Jose Hernandez is our winner from Katy. Jose, you're going to be going to a great party sponsored by ESPN and SB Nation Radio. So enjoy that. We got you in the 3 o'clock hour, made the drawing. Congratulations. Thanks for being a part of the show. With that, Nick, we got one more on the Texans discussion. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've got Trevor. What's up, man?
Hey, y'all.
What's up, Trevor?
What's up, Trevor?
Not a lot. Just love the show. I had a question as far as the job that Rack's doing with the defense with all these injuries they've had. I know they're, you know, not the best defense or anything like that, but I would have to say with the all the injuries he's having to deal with, he's doing a pretty dang good job. So I just want to get y'all's take on that, and I'll hang up and listen.
You're right. I mean, Trevor, Rack has gotten that defense to play above their heads, you know, without, you know, think about it. You got the best defensive player in the game last year that's on the bench, and these guys are playing phenomenal football. They're playing really good team defense. You know, the thing that everybody's worried about is the secondary because, you know, they're banged up so much. If J. Joe and Kareem could stay healthy and not get banged up, they'd be
Johnson, too.
Yeah, and, well, they lost Johnson, too. So, I mean, for what coach are – what coach is doing for those guys, man, he got them playing above their head. And Travis, you know it because you're on the defensive side of the ball.
No question. I mean, when you look at what Rack has done with that team, I said in the beginning of the year when JJ got hurt, I said, don't be surprised if this team plays a better team
you
defense.
You did say, and we talked about it at length.
Than they did when JJ was here. For the simple fact is, I mean, one of the beauties of having a JJ Watt on your team, you let him do whatever he wants to do. And at times, it could hurt the defense as a whole because of some of the gaps it opens up when if he gets two holes scooped to backdoor play, make a play in the backfield. Because every now and then, he won't make that play. And a hurt JJ early on in the year couldn't make that play because he wasn't fully capable of going, but yet he still wanted to do those things. So that, to me, is where I see them as a whole getting better because now they have everybody playing gap-sound defense for the most part.
Now let me guys ask you guys a question, and it's experience from both of your perspectives, especially from you, Mac, because you know from having him on a staff. Is Rack, Romeo Cannell, is he like Wade Phillips, guys that are great coordinators that just aren't cut out to be head coaches, or was it a bad situation for them when Romeo got to Kansas City or when Wade got to Dallas?
Don't forget, Rack won 10 games with the Cleveland Browns, and everybody thought they couldn't do it. I mean, it's
but
just
the
got
knock.
Right.
But I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out for your. That's what I want. I want your opinions because the knock is those are guys that should be lifetime coordinators because they're not set out to be head coaches. I want to get your feelings, especially you've been so close to Wade.
I mean, I think Wade would have been and is a great head coach. I mean, he's the guy that you want to lead your team. I mean, he comes in and tells it like it is. He's not going to pull any punches. He's going to tell you exactly what's on his mind. He's going to tell you exactly how he feels and what he expects of you, and you go out and do it. If you don't, he's just like, okay, we need another guy.
But you know what I liked about Wade, and the same thing I like about Rack, is the fact that their demeanors don't change.
No matter
the situation, always have that calm demeanor. Is they run the room without telling you they run the room,
and they don't have to beat their chest in front of the room I'm the man.
Track record speaks for itself,
no doubt, because they treat you like you want to be treated.
Plus, it seems like they'll listen to ownership's opinions, but at the end of the day, they're not going to succumb to all that pressure. Like when Wade came in and said, I need defensive help in the draft, and that's what we have to focus on. Not can we. This is what we need. And then he drafted J.J. Watt.
He was straight to the point. Yeah. This is what I need, and this is what's going to make us better. I'm going to tell you, it's going to make us better.
Yeah.
And that's how he is, and that's how he's always been. I mean, being in San Diego with Wade was fun because, you know, Marty, you know, Coach Schottenheimer was a great leader also, but sometimes he could be overbearing at times. And Wade would come in and just crack a joke in the middle of Coach Schottenheimer's speech talking, and everybody just busts out laughing, and Coach Schottenheimer be like, what's going on? But Wade has calmed the room down like, it's overbearing, Marty. This is too much.
Yeah. Look at this year. He gets steamrolled on the sideline, rushed to the hospital. People are saying, broken leg, broken ribs. What's going on? He's on Twitter cracking jokes.
Yes. I mean, that's just who he is. He's the same person all the time.
I tell you, I wish I'd have had Wade as a rookie. I never got Wade because I had Chico. I had Ron Rivera when I got to San Diego.
Yep.
But I know when I got there – the simple fact is, I remember when they gave Luis all that money because of Wade Phillips' defense. And he's sitting there like, I remember getting there like,
Luis,
you telling me that Luis just got $18 million up front, than Tommy Harris?
So did Romeo get a raw deal? Kansas City or Cleveland?
I thought Cleveland gave him a raw deal. I think with the winning that he did in Cleveland with Anderson as his quarterback.
Derek Anderson
as his quarterback.
It's a backup.
I think the defensive line he put together was phenomenal. The offensive line, by him drafting Joe Thomas when he was there.
A staple, pillar.
And not just Joe Thomas. He also had Alex Mack as his center. He put together a solid team. If they would have kept him in place, I think it was there. You got to think he had Kellen Winslow Jr. as his tight end. Mm-hmm. He had Braylon Edwards as his wide receiver.
Yeah.
He put together a heck of a team.
There's some talent
and
there.
All he needed was the support, and all he needed was to finally get an actual starting quarterback in there, and he would have won a whole lot of games.
If they wait another year, they get a quarterback.
Yeah,
and then he goes to Kansas City. You know, it's just sometimes
he goes to Kansas City with Matt Castle.
Yeah, and we know where Matt Castle is right now. So I mean, but some situations are good and some are bad. I thought the Kansas City situation was bad. The Cleveland situation was good because he got a chance to build it himself.
So he put the groceries in the cupboard and didn't get a chance to finish dinner.
No, not at all.
Pretty safe to say that? All right, we got one segment left. We got Nick Picks around the corner. We appreciate you all being a part of the show. A great pre-weekend show. We'll cover some games coming up on the horizon, see what the guys think about that and more, and then wrap it up and hand it over to the Blitz, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Travis, Keenan, and Joel for one more segment as we wrap things up and get you ready for your weekend before we turn it over to Fred and AJ in the Blitz. We've had a great show, a little spirited discussion, and I do grant that you people need to realize it's a discussion, not an argument or a fight. We're just trying to get both points out there, and sometimes we get a little passionate, which is great, which makes the show wonderful. So before we get to everything else we've gotten to today on a Friday, we always wrap things up with Nick Picks. So let's do what we normally do and turn it over to our esteemed producer as Nick hits the NFL music.
What is going on?
And gets us up to speed with big games this weekend. Nick, go ahead, buddy.
I'm going to start with the Army-Navy game, +6. Navy favored. Army is set to be at home, according to the line.
So you mean Army's favored?
Navy's favored.
So it's Navy -6.
Yeah, Navy -6, Army +6, yep.
Okay, Navy had the big win against U of H. We know the offense is hard to prepare for. They've kind of had a disappointing finish to the season, but I just think overall in a game like this, especially with a lot of emotions involved,
but
I just like, from a football perspective, I like what Navy does.
I think Navy's going to win. I'm just going to pick
Navy. I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say Army. I'm going to say Troy. No, Troy's at Air Force. Is Troy at Air Force?
Yeah.
Troy's at Air Force. But I'm going to go with the Army just to go against the grain.
Yeah, well, Navy beat Houston, so Navy's definitely beating Army.
What that mean?
I thought in the break, Nick, you took the Marines.
Yeah, to the NFL.
That means you took Navy.
Seahawks and Packers. Packers +3 at home.
You know, I knew you were going to do this, but all right, go ahead. I'll let you guys go ahead first.
Good game.
Big game.
Seattle. I'm going Seattle. Seattle.
I knew where Keenan. I knew Keenan does this to me every week. So that's fine.
It's Seattle -3 against. So I got to go with Seattle. End of the day, Russell Wilson is finally healthy. He's moving around well.
Jimmy Graham is healthy.
I got to go with Seattle. I think the Packers lose this one.
This is the one I circled on the schedule before, during, and now with the game coming up as the biggest game of the year for the Packers. I think they run the table if they win this game. I know this is their biggest stumbling block, and everything you guys say is true. I know that losing Earl Thomas hurts Seattle. The weather is going to be a huge factor. So I'll say this. My heart is definitely always going to take Green Bay, but I'm a realist to say 3 is not a big enough spread, and you're absolutely right about Wilson being healthy. But I'll look, just for the sake of, I can't go against them. I'm taking them. I'll take the Packers regardless. And I knew. And by the way, I will say it again. I knew Mac was going to do that because he's taking every time it's Packers or Badgers, he jams the ice pick in my ribs. So go ahead, Nick. Where are you going?
I'm gonna go ahead and pick the Seahawks as well.
Good pick, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Next game, Cowboys and Giants. Giants are 8-4, plus 3.5 for the Giants at home.
It's actually a good game because the Giants need that game. They're not going to win the division, but they obviously need it for wild card purposes. I just don't see, boy, the Giants' offense is so predictable. It's all pass. They don't have a running game. Eli doesn't look great. I just think the Cowboys keep rolling.
I think it's the Cowboys. I mean, when you look at what the Cowboys have been doing this year, you can't. I refuse to bet against them, especially those young fellas. Man, they playing top notch ball. I think both of them should be in MVP conversation.
Yep.
And I like what they're doing.
I like the Cowboys. I mean, I think for those same reasons. Plus, Dez Bryant has bought in. I mean, he's a believer in Dak and. You know, they have a lot of weapons.
Do you think that, by the way, Travis, before we get to the next game, and Nick, your pick, but before we get to that, I just want to ask real quick, do you think that because they're both in the MVP discussion, one takes votes away from the other?
You could think that, and it's probably so. I mean, one is going to – but it's not like
Baker Mayfield and Westbrook in Oklahoma.
Baker Mayfield and Dede Westbrook shouldn't even be there.
I don't disagree.
Neither one of them should be there.
Dalvin Cook should be there.
Dalvin Cook should have won the Doug Walker Award as well.
All right, Nick, who you got in the game?
I'm picking the Giants only because I feel like the Cowboys are just not going to finish the regular season with just one loss. And I'm looking at the rest of their schedule. I just think this is the one team that could beat them. Looking at the rest,
that's the only team. That's the team that beat them earlier. So
and maybe the Lions too.
A little revenge in there.
But yeah. So I'm picking the Giants in this one. Another game would be the Broncos and the Titans. Titans at home, -1 in their favored. Titans 6-6. Broncos 8-4.
It's a big game for people around here.
I'm taking the Broncos because the Broncos know now Kansas City has won. They got to keep pace.
Yeah, got to keep pace.
They got to keep pace. And
from Tennessee's perspective, no, they got to keep pace too.
The Broncos are going to win this.
Where's that game played, Nick?
In Tennessee. I'm picking the Broncos.
Simeon has also been cleared to play, by the way, for the Broncos.
That's a big key right there.
In the words of my Pakistani homeboy that's from England, I'm going with the Broncos. Yeah, so I'm going with the Broncos.
I'm not sure what that was, but I will also take the Broncos.
All right, my last game would be. I mean, I left the Texans Colts out. I figured you guys have talked about it a lot, but if you guys want to mention anything on that, but the last game outside that game would be the Steelers and the Bills. The Bills are at home, 6-6, +3 at home.
+3, so that means they got the Steelers winning the game.
That's a bad game.
You got Redskins, Eagles, you got Cardinals, Dolphins. I don't know what other games that you could pick. Falcons, Rams, maybe.
Redskins, Eagles
is a big game.
But game. Pittsburgh and Buffalo, I'm going Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's starting to roll now.
I'm going Pittsburgh. Because I picked them to be in the Super Bowl.
I did too. And I'll say this.
Did you?
When you got a healthy Le'Veon Bell, and all your receivers are now healthy, led by Brown, but he doesn't have to do it himself anymore. And Ben is healthy and slinging it around, and their defense is always staunch. I think the Steelers are ready to make a run right now.
I agree. I'm gonna take the Steelers anyway, even though as much as I actually love Rex Ryan, and I just the Steelers, I think, will come and be rolling.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Steelers as well, but I don't know if there's any other honorable mentions. Am I missing any games? I don't really see any games that really stick out.
What does the bowl season look like right now? I know it should be – some of those teams should be playing a few of those Christmas – before Christmas bowls.
Las Vegas Bowl.
New Year's Six.
The Christmas Six. No, the New Year's Six, it never does. But, I mean, it's – I think we should talk about – well, we don't have enough time, but those awards last night –
You're pretty fired up about that.
Yeah, because
and you should
Cook,
state your case.
Because you know what's the kid's name at Richardson? That's at Dante. That's at the University of Texas.
Dante,
the running back,
Foreman.
Dante Foreman. He hadn't played anybody. I mean, when you look at how it breaks down,
he rushed for 2,000. That's a lot.
I mean, he had 2,000 all purpose yards. He didn't rush for 2,000.
Was a kid from San Diego State a nominee?
Yes, he was.
Okay,
but I think Foreman had 2,100 total yards. Dalvin Cook had 2,046. 19 touchdowns for Dalvin, 15 for Foreman. 35% of both teams' yards for both of those guys. But when you look down, I mean, the average carry, Dalvin had 7.7. When you look down at the major category, in my opinion, top 25 defenses face, Dalvin faced 7 of them.
True.
Ask me how many Foreman faced.
How many?
0.
Okay, take your heart out of this, and just let me ask you a question.
He's,
okay,
he's the best running back in college football.
You just answered the question. Mac, you agree? Fournette?
I'm a Fournette guy. I'm a Fournette guy. I just am. I mean, because I think if I'm starting my franchise, I'm starting it
you
with
say
Fournette.
Fournette. You say Dalvin Cook. Let me ask you guys a question. Cook. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
On the next level, who has the better career? Who has more success on the NFL level?
I think Dalvin Cook. I think he can do more. When you look at how he catches the ball out of the backfield, I think one of the things that I say Foreman does well, because he's a 250-pound back, he blocks very well against
Fournette, because he said Fournette.
I'm just speaking on all of them, the three of them in general. Fournette, I think, does a great job in the pass thing, but as far as pass blocking, I think if you have a knock on Dalvin Cook's his ability right now, I would say that's his only thing is his pass blocking skill in the passing game. But as far as
running, he's a receiver out of the
backfield.
As far
as running. Catching the ball. I mean, you look at him. I see Marshall Faulk. I see Curtis Martin, and I see the power of the kid right now in Dallas.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott.
We haven't seen Fournette in the passing game yet because they don't have a quarterback.
Exactly. Plus, he's been dinged up.
I'm not worried about that, bro.
No, I'm just saying we haven't seen a lot of him this year.
At the next level, you know, that 230 pounds is gonna put some pain on some people.
Kid from San Diego State, have a good career.
He's a small guy. I like him a lot, but he's gonna. He had a really good college career. He's gonna be an impact guy, probably third down back at the next level.
There you have it, guys. Insight on the running back position in the college level.
We missed the best
NFL level.
The third best running back is Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and he's coming out. Yeah,
yes.
But is he an every down back?
Yes.
Both say yes. There you have it. There's insight you're not going to get anywhere else. These are the guys that make it happen every day, all week long. It's Keenan, it's Travis, and I'm Joel. For Nick back at the studio, have a great weekend, Houston. We'll talk to you Monday, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.